It was the year of fans.
The year of engagement.
The year we had great conversation.
It was the year of reruns.
The year JP joined us.
The year of moves.
And the year of joy.
It was the news show.
It was the end of bloopers.
It was the year everything connected.
The year is 2018. The Place, the Babylon Project podcast.
Hello there, Babylon 5 fans. Welcome to our next installment of the Babylon Project podcast. This is your host, Raul Wybera, and I am joined by my two good friends, Jim Arrowwood and JP Harvey. How are you two gentlemen tonight?
Very good.
Doing awesome.
So what episode are we talking about tonight, sir?
Episode 4, 13. Fourth season, 13th episode, Rumors, Bargains, and Lies. And there is a whole mess of rumors, bargains, and lies going on in this episode.
Everywhere in this episode.
Oh, yeah. And some of them are kind of humorous and some of them are kind of serious.
Well, you know, I'll just make one comment. Sheridan is on sort of a comic role this episode, and enjoy it while it lasts, because this is going to be the happiest we'll be seeing him for quite a while.
Yeah, pretty much.
But you've got a synopsis for us, sir.
I do.
Let's go ahead and hit it.
Archive. Access. Initiated.
Civil war has broken out on Minbar, and Delenn travels there to try to bring a halt to the fighting between the religious and warrior castes. She arranges to meet with Nerun, explaining that neither side can win the war, and that neither side should. Nerun agrees, but believes that the fighting will not stop until the conflict burns itself out. A member of the religious caste eavesdrops on the conversation and hears only part of it. Believing that Delenn is offering to surrender out of hand, he and others on board the Minbari cruiser decide that they need to plant a poison bomb in the air circulation system, killing everyone on board. Lanier discovers the plot and disarms the device, but sustains injury to himself. Next, Lanier covers up the plot by the religious caste and gets them to understand that they were in error. Being concerned that it will be difficult to get the League of Non-Aligned Worlds to agree to allow the Rangers to patrol their borders, Sheridan hatches a plot setting up a series of deceptions. First, he orders a White Star ship to attack and destroy a series of asteroids in a particular sector. Second, he arranges for Londo to deny that ships are patrolling the Centauri border. And finally, he tells Susan to announce that nothing has happened in the sector of space where the asteroids were attacked. These actions cause the League to become paranoid, and they all demand that their borders be patrolled by White Star ships. After some discussion, Delenn and Nerun agree to work together to end the conflict on Minbar. However, it would seem that Nerun has another agenda when he sends a transmission that appears he is working to double-cross Delenn. Well, there it is.
All I can say is this is the perfect title for this episode.
It is.
There are some titles that are just, you can't do better, and I think that this will be one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Character files opened.
Well, we have some guest cast, and some of it are people we're quite familiar with. You could almost call them recurring people. But yeah. Who do we have?
Well, tonight we have Ron Campbell as the Drazi ambassador. This is his last of three appearances on Babylon 5.
I'll miss him. His voice was distinctive for the Drazi. Kind of gave them part of their character, I think.
Yes. Chard Haywood as religious number two. That would be the one that came up with the idea of poisoning the crew.
Okay.
This is his only appearance on Babylon 5, and he was also on Lost.
I don't remember.
Oh, well, yeah. Huh. He was not a Minbari on Lost.
Maybe Wayne can tell us.
Yeah. Let's see. We had Guy Sinner as religious number one. His only appearance on Babylon 5, he was on Doctor Who in 1975. Was on Star Trek Enterprise for an episode, and does voice work on Star Wars games quite often.
Ah.
Yeah. And then we have John Vickery returning as Nerun.
Yay.
Unfortunately, we're getting down to the end of Nerun's tenure on the show. This is his second to the last appearance that we will have Nerun with us.
Mm-hmm.
And then under co-starring, we have Jonathan Chapman as the Bracari ambassador, 12th of 15 appearances on Babylon 5 in numerous roles.
Yeah, I know he does the Bracari a lot. Do you remember who else just off the top?
No, not off the top of my head.
I would just, because, I mean, he really kind of defines just that. Really skinny, and his mannerisms kind of defined the Bracari in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And I was just curious.
Initiating plot analysis.
Oh, he kind of broke the Delin part in two segments, which I think actually is good, the way you organized the summary. But it actually starts with Sheridan at the beginning here, sitting alone, hovering over his breakfast, giggling and talking to himself like he's having, well, like he's either having an idea or he's having a nervous breakdown. The command crew certainly seems to be thinking the latter.
They walk by him and they all say something to him, and he doesn't even really acknowledge them. He's just off kind of in his own little world. I'm sure glad that chair didn't slide out from under him, though.
Yeah.
Did you happen to notice that as everybody walked by and when they sat down at the table, they had a lot of food for breakfast?
Yeah, I guess Franklin isn't pushing the diets anymore.
Wow, piled up plates and several plates and all kinds of stuff.
You know, breakfast is the most important meal, they used to say.
Well, I'll tell you what, they were sure getting their fill.
Uh-huh. But they're talking about the alliance and trying to sell the idea about it. And it's really kind of funny because Sheridan is blabbing out loud intermittently along the subject that they're talking about, that they're concerned about, completely oblivious to them.
It's a good thing that Garibaldi wasn't around to see the captain in this state.
Oh, gosh.
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, the Garibaldi that is now.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, what did that alien do? What did the alien, has the alien influences done to him?
Yeah, seriously.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, all of a sudden, everybody's sitting around having a nice, quiet breakfast, and he bangs on his table.
He's got an idea.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you what, everything except a little light bulb above his head.
Uh-huh. In order to convince them to join the Alliance, we don't convince them to join the Alliance. At which point, they're pretty well convinced he's nuts, and all he says is, trust me, this is going to be great.
Yeah, that phrase, trust me, gets bantered around a lot in this series.
Oh, yep. Yeah, we'll be hearing that more than once tonight. Well, from here, we switch over to Delin, only to find out that, the civil war that's been threatening has gone hot. We see a little bit more of Minbar, and it is a beautiful place.
It was. Yeah. They're watching Minbar before this war started, but apparently the war, since it has gone hot, there's been some shelling going on.
Yep.
And, Delenn and Lanier are commiserating what the place was like. And, Delenn is actually giving us a little bit of backstory about, she almost sounds like a normal kid.
Yeah, very much so. And all connected with that, she's kind of sitting there feeling guilt from the perspective of, was she the cause of all of this? She's seen the religious caste's main city burn down around her shoulders, basically.
Survivor's guilt, a little bit, something like that.
I think in part. I think part of it, I know when I've been in with some of the clinical research and some of the work I do during the day, I've had to make decisions that can be life or death. I've had to make life or death decisions before. I'll leave it at that.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if I would want to follow someone who didn't have that kind of a conscience. What is good about her conscience, though, she questions and she challenges it. But when it's time to make decisions, she doesn't hesitate.
Yep.
Well, she's questioning her decision to break the Grey Council, which was balanced.
Right.
Effective. It was defective then, but it had worked for a very long time. And she's wondering if she did the right thing by breaking the council.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting when Lanier says, he references prophecy and says, well, we know that the Grey Council would be broken. And her response was odd, and I meant to go back and listen to it again. Almost like she's lost faith, she said something like, well, yeah, but you know how that works. Almost like she was doubting.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Lanier, I think, he's not commiserating with her as much as being the therapist a little bit. He's the shoulder she's crying on. He's trying to console her, and boy, she's clearly hurt, struggling with all of this.
Yeah, and your comment about doubt, that's well taken. Doubt is not a bad thing. Doubt mm-hmm. causes you to reaffirm your reasons. You'd mentioned faith. She is working to a degree on faith. When you're making those kinds of decisions, there is an element of faith involved. And when you have that doubt and when you do that introspection, what you're doing, if you're doing it properly, which I think she was in this case, if you're doing it properly, what you're doing is that you're ensuring you're not operating on a blind faith. You're operating on a reasoned faith, on a reasonable mm-hmm. faith.
See, which prophecies don't allow much room for that. A prophecy can be interpreted many, many ways.
Prospectively, and especially.
Yeah. And so, so Lanier brings up the prophecy as this was that incident of breaking the council a fulfillment of prophecy, or was it something that maybe should have been thought through a little more, or what, whatever. In any case, it's over and it's done. And so now we're getting some of the consequences of that
mm-hmm.
because every action is going to have consequences.
Yep. And speaking of consequences, it sounds like Delenn is working on a plan too, only not as humorous, shall we say, as Sheridan. And as far as this plan, we get a reference to a he, whoever that is. We get a reference to the ship, the Takari, which is a name that sure rang a bell to me. It sounded familiar.
Okay.
And we'll find out why very quickly.
Yes.
Because we know that ship received our signal, which said received our signal and is awaiting at the contact point. Mysterious. Uh-huh. Hey, the end of this scene, I think we saw a mean Lanier. I think he was a little bit mean. We have Delenn sad, weeping even. He's consoling her, and then when at the end of the scene, after we hear the plan and he's departing, do you remember what he said?
Mm-hmm.
It was a beautiful city, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I thought, here she is blaming herself for all this and lamenting, and he's consoling her, and at the end, it's like he takes a... I don't think it was written to be that way, but that's how it came across to me, was, you know, kind of calms down, we get the plan, everything's going good, and he goes, yeah, it sure was a beautiful city, and he walks away.
The cheap
shot.
Really?
You had to say that to her now? But, Lanier.
I don't know if it was commiseration, that he was trying to commiserate, or if he was blaming the warrior cast, but, it probably came off a little bit colder than what he originally intended.
Yeah, and it may just be me having read it that way. I don't know, but it surprised me. I didn't remember it before, and when I rewatched it, it was like, ooh,
uh-huh,
that was mean.
Oh, interesting thought. Well, we shift back to Sheridan.
Yes.
Talking to Londo and Jakar.
Just Londo.
Is it just Londo at this point?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Jakar isn't even in the episode, to tell you the honest to goodness truth.
Okay.
Not in this one.
Yeah. He's talking to Londo, but he wants Londo and Jakar to deny the alliance.
Right.
Okay. Good.
And Londo is, he cannot believe what he's hearing.
Uh-huh. Let's go ahead and hear it. This will be one of many clips we have for tonight.
Captain, I'm not entirely sure I understand. When you asked me to allow your ships to operate on the border of Centauri space, you said you were going to use it to inspire the rest of the League to do the same,
That's right.
And now you don't want me to even talk about it?
That's right, and if anyone brings it up, I want you to deny it.
Deny it?
That's right.
But you want to keep the patrols in place, yes?
Absolutely. And I've told Jakar the same thing.
Well, Captain, you will forgive me if I appear a bit slow. I have studied your race quite a bit, and there are still several aspects of your psychology I don't understand. A place called Winchester Mansion, with stairs that go nowhere. Something called Country and Western. And the less said about the comedy team of Rebo and Zooty, the better.
However, you don't like Rebo and Zooty? They're hysterical.
Are they? I'm sorry. I apparently mistook you for a human with some taste and sensibility. After their last broadcast, everywhere I went on the station, someone was going, Zooty, zoot, zoot, at me.
It was a great routine.
I didn't get it.
Not my problem.
My point, if you will allow me to make it, is that there's much about the human mind that I don't understand. So perhaps you will explain to me how allowing your ships to patrol the border of Centauri space will inspire the rest of the League to do the same if I can't even tell them that we are doing it.
Londo, trust me.
There you go, Jim.
Zooty, zoot, zoot. I love that.
There you go,
that
Jim.
That was very Abbott and Costello.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Zooty, zoot, zoot.
They don't let Box Lightner do a lot of these kinds of comedy bits, but he's good.
Oh, yeah.
He is definitely good. But, yeah, you mentioned trust me. We do get to hear that a lot.
Yeah. So, anyway, apparently Londo is convinced to go along with the little plan.
Even though he agrees with the command staff about Sheridan being a little loopy.
But that's okay, you know. It's there's a method to the madness here, so.
Is there a method to the madness, or is there a madness to the method?
Oh, maybe a little of both.
Or is there a madness to the madness?
Yeah.
And we won't get into method acting from there, because it's
good.
Alrighty. Well, we find out who he is. Namoon. Yay.
Yes. The man with a golden voice.
Yeah. They are, meaning both the warrior caste people and the religious caste people, they are just bristling.
Yeah, and the big bad warrior is hiding behind a line of his subordinates, while Delenn is standing right out front.
And she wants to talk to him, alone.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, though, that's some symbolism there for you.
Yep.
Well, we know what happens to the people that are in front of her in the past, right? Versus yeah. behind her.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly. They might want to be somewhere else.
See, they're standing back there, and Delenn, we're behind you. That way, when it's time to run, we'll be in front.
They've put the end that produces the fire on their weapon in front of them.
Right.
The religious guest.
Well, the short of it is she needs his help. Why would she go to Namoon of all people, though? They've been, I mean, you can't even call them frenemies. They've been antagonists of each other for most of the show. I mean, since season one.
Uh-huh. Well, in any case, Namoon agrees, and Delenn goes to follow him, and those warrior guys aren't going to move, and Delenn gives them a laser beam stare, and they do get out of her way.
Yeah. Oh, I wish that part, I wish you could put the look in the clip.
Yeah.
Because we do have their conversation. And we're going to go ahead and let you play that.
I need to speak with you. Alone.
Given the fighting that's going on back home, I should think you would be very worried to be alone with one of the warrior castes.
I would, if it were anyone else but you.
And why is that?
Come with me and find out.
There's the look.
Treating them like honored guests after all they've done to us. What are they doing here? Why were they invited?
It is not for me to say.
There are rumors all over Homeworld that the religious caste will give in to the demands of the warriors, that they will rule and we will follow. Delenn
will speak for herself when she feels it is correct to speak.
All right, Delenn. What is it?
I need your help, Namoon.
My help? I remind you that not very long ago I fought to keep you from taking control of the Rangers. We have not exactly been friends.
No. But your actions have always been motivated by one desire, to do what is right for our people. The warrior caste cannot be allowed to win this war. The religious caste cannot be allowed to win. You know as well as I that if either side achieves dominance, the delicate balance of our civilization will be destroyed.
You should have thought of that before you broke the Grey Council.
What is done, Namoon. What matters now is the future. Yes, we've disagreed, even fought. But I would rather have someone who opposed me out of an honest belief in the rightness of his cause than someone who was always on my side because it was expected or required. Question your judgment, your wisdom, your temperament, but never your loyalty.
Was that a compliment?
After a fashion.
Then you trust me.
After a fashion.
Well, it's a beginning. I only wish it could have happened months ago. We might have avoided all this grief. Now it's too late.
No, it's not.
This has been building ever since the war.
The fire cannot be stopped. It will have to burn itself out before the two sides will listen to reason.
And how many cities will be burned to the ground by then? How many lives will be lost?
Delenn, I am as horrified by what is happening back home as you are. But we are two against a world gone mad. What can we do against that?
Nothing. Until we get their attention. For that, I need your help. Will you give it?
If I do, I risk alienating my entire caste. They may turn against me.
That is true. And I risk the same by working with you.
Well, it's a challenge, and I have always liked challenges. You have my support for now.
So there is a mutual respect here between these two. They don't like each other, but they understand each other.
And they're both patriots, and they are both honorable.
Well, we'll see about that.
Yep, we'll see. All I can say is Minbari politics make the Centauri seem simplistic.
I sure wouldn't want to run for office on Minbar.
No. At least you don't have to worry about the degree of, you know, assassination, poisoning, not all. But it's just layers upon convoluted layers.
Yeah.
In the meantime, Sheridan is playing the Drazi. They seem to have noticed the white stars, first of all. And he's got a mission for Marcus.
Yes.
Go shoot some rocks and come home.
Yeah. And why do I do that? Trust me. And the thing of it is here is, as I watch this, okay, Marcus is questioning orders. All right. First of all, the way Sheridan's talking, I thought Kosh was no longer a part of him.
Yeah.
Okay. Because some of what he said and some of the way he said it was definitely very Vorlon-like, okay? And as far as Marcus is concerned, just follow orders. Just do what you're told.
Yeah, and you know, well, for to answer both of those points, first of all, one of the things we do find out, especially in Season 5, no one who's been touched by a Vorlon comes out quite the same. Though I think this is just Sheridan being. Let's just say we get to see he's going to be doing a little more political play, and we're getting a little bit of the introduction to that here.
Definitely. The only thing is, okay, I want you to remember this in a few minutes, because he tells Marcus to go to Sector 37.
Right.
Okay.
Right, and I'll answer that. I'll answer that when we get to it. Okay.
There you go.
The other point, we do see the commander is still there, because he lets Marcus question his sanity to a point, and then he reminds him who's in charge.
Which is the way it should be.
Which is the way it should be. Beyond that, he's still way too chippy about it. He is having too much fun.
Well, if this works out the way he envisions it working out, it's going to be quite hilarious.
Yes. Yes, it is.
It's either going to be great, as he says, or it is going to be a huge embarrassment.
Well, let's just go ahead and play our next little clip here and get an idea.
I told you I have no idea what you are talking about. These white starships were seen on your borders, Ambassador. Our pilots... Your pilots should have their eyes examined. I don't know how they see out of them anyway. Tiny, beady, squinty little things, aren't they?
Ambassador!
No, the Maker has not been kind to you. Must be terrible trying to fly at night without running into entire planets.
Are you saying the Centauri do not know what ships are patrolling their borders?
Oh, of course we know. The Maker has gifted us with great big eyes and great big scanners and great big... Well, that is no concern of yours. Look,
Isn't there someone else you can go and harass? My life is already so full of joy as it is.
Then you flatly deny that you asked Sheridan to use the White Star Fleet to support your government and protect Centauri space.
Absolutely. Anything else?
No. That will do. Thank you.
Open!
So Londo plays it. I mean, that's a triple up the middle.
Yep.
You know, he plays it perfectly, and he has just, the Drazi is now absolutely beside himself.
They're in a tizzy, and Londo is getting some well-deserved needling, driving him nuts from them.
Well, you know what? Londo just stood there, looked him right in the eye, his beady little eye, and lied to him.
He did what? Londo does best.
And lied to him and carried it through. And the Drazi knows he's lying.
Uh-huh.
So now the pot's starting to boil here.
Oh, it's barely hit a simmer, Jim. Wait, just wait. It's going to get, wait till it starts rolling.
Oh, well, what about this next scene?
Oh, God. Yeah, Franklin. Finding the leak. Hey, guys, we need some extra blood supply. Yeah.
Why?
Yeah.
I'll get you. I got you all together at once. So we need extra blood. Just in case.
Yeah. What do you need that for? Oh, you never know. There might be an emergency. There might be a war. You never know. So don't worry. I'm going to send off official requests very soon, and everything will be all right. Maybe.
Yeah. Now we've got a good rolling simmer at this point because the league is completely freaked.
Uh-huh.
It's a little less, what's the word I'm looking for? I don't want to necessarily say humorous, but it's a little less Abbott and Costello on the Minbari site.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we've got the League of Non-Aligned Worlds are now suspicious and freaking out, and there's no difference on the Minbari ship because the religious caste outside of Delenn are also very suspicious.
And freaking out. They think she's going to surrender, and sounds like they're planning something bad to set up the warrior caste.
Yeah.
Suicide?
Yeah. They come up with a plan.
Yep.
To release some poison into the ship and kill everybody. Because they see that as being more honorable than just an all-out attack. Or allowing Delenn to surrender as they suspect she's going to.
Yeah. Well, thank God Lanier hears it and has a different concept of honor.
Yeah.
Well, back to the Abbott and Costello side. Sheridan, okay, so he's kind of gone through Londo, Marcus, Franklin, and now Susan.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants you to do something that at first makes you really scratch your head, especially with what's happened to them already in the past. He wants them to plant her to plant a story.
Yes. And Susan's like, plant a story? This is not our charter here. Right. We're supposed to be telling the truth.
We're not ISN.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And that was, she's looking at him. I mean, she's questioning him almost the same way Marcus was, to be honest.
Well, and while she's the commander in that role that she's in there, she would have every right to.
Has an obligation to, in fact.
Yes. But he's not asking her to lie.
No. Why don't we let him explain it?
1 minute, 30 seconds, Commander.
Sir, are you going to stay? Or?
No. I just stopped by to ask you to plan a story for me.
Excuse me?
Plan a story for me. Something I just want you to drop into the broadcast.
Captain, with all due respect, we can't just start planting stories now.
We've made a big deal out of the fact that unlike ISN, we're putting out the truth. If we become a propaganda machine...
That's the last thing I want. I just want you to mention that nothing happened today in Sector 83 by 9 by 12.
83912?
That's the one.
30 seconds.
But, sir, I just got a status report from CNC a little while ago, and that sector's been absolutely quiet.
Exactly. So, just relax, because what you're saying is absolutely true.
That nothing happened there today?
Yes.
Just casually mention that nothing's going on.
That's right. Make a big deal out of it. As much as you can, given nothing happened.
But, sir, I...
10 seconds.
Well, I better get out of the way. You're just about to go on. I'll talk to you later.
But...
Go!
This is Commander Susan Ivanova, Babylon 5, bringing you the voice of the Resistance. In the next 20 minutes, we'll have updated information about President Clark's continued illegal attacks against civilian targets on Mars and more information about the struggle for Proxima 3. Our best wishes go to our brothers and sisters there who are fighting for their freedom against overwhelming odds. We'll also have stunning news about the mass resignations of cabinet-level advisors and the Joint Chiefs over his campaign of terror. Our regards to those on board Earth Alliance starships who risk being arrested and court-martialed for watching these telecasts. Your loyalty to Earth and to freedom is appreciated, and we hope to have some news for you soon. First, one brief announcement. I just wanted to mention for those who have asked that absolutely nothing whatsoever happened today in Sector 83 by 9 by 12. I repeat, nothing happened. Please remain calm.
Please remain calm.
Yes. And so the members of the League are there, and they get together after that part of the broadcast, and they start discussing amongst themselves, and you can see the paranoia just kind of rise.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And maybe they have cloaking devices, and maybe this, and maybe that, and it's like, they might be right here with us, and so they all scatter in all different directions. So Sheridan's master plan is working.
Now, one of you had a request to bring up numbers somewhere around right. This point.
Yeah. He told Marcus to go to 87.
Uh-huh.
You know where it wasn't.
Huh?
83 by 9 by 12. Or was it?
Of course not. Because he picked both numbers right out of his butt. In fact,
oh, I see.
In fact, you could see he was looking on the map. That looks good. We'll use that.
Now, Marcus had to move really fast to move four sectors.
Uh-huh. So he's just picking the numbers out of his butt. Spread the paranoia.
Okay.
But as you said, the League is hooked.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the question is going to be, what are they going to do about it? And I think that's almost as funny as the setup.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. So it seems Narun has questions, or at least is being questioned. Surprisingly, or should we say not surprisingly, it seems that he's got some warrior rebellion as well as DeLynn.
He suggested it to DeLynn, and here it is. My caste could rebel against me, or rise up against me. I forget what phrase he used.
Yep. Only instead of poisoning the ship like the religious caste, the warrior caste is a little more direct.
Yeah.
But
well, he sends that other warrior off, supposedly off, to do something.
Yep.
And instead, he pulls out a fighting pike and tries to brain Narun with it.
Yeah.
That was a pretty good job.
Uh-huh.
Well, in any rate, what we've got here is we have the religious caste mad at DeLynn. We have the warrior caste mad at Narun.
Uh-huh.
Everybody thinks that these two are giving everything away.
One's going to surrender to the other.
Yeah, that they're going to just give everything away, and that it's going to be to their consequence, and it... they're not happy about it at all. So they're trying to take measures themselves.
Right.
So, you know, we're talking about the rumors part of the title.
And the report, when the religious caste leaders report what happened to Nerun, her comment was, of course we're not going to surrender.
Right.
Sort of an oops moment.
Yeah.
Big one.
Yeah, you've got that one for us. I think this is one of our shorter clips, actually, thank heavens.
Ah.
I'm glad you're here. I need you to keep an eye on the other warriors that are aboard. Nerun was attacked because some of them believe that the warrior caste is going to surrender to us. They would do anything necessary to prevent that.
Then we're there, not going to surrender?
No, don't be foolish. If either side surrenders to the other, there will be chaos. Our entire culture would fall apart. There are other ways, more reasonable ways. But the extremists among us never see that. They would rather be martyrs to misinformation and old ways.
But we thought...
Thought what?
Nothing. Nothing.
Again. Keep an eye on them. If you suspect anything, do not act directly. Tell me, and I'll tell Nerun. Incredible. Only the warrior caste could actually turn on one of their own. They have always been erratic. You are the steady rock beneath my feet. Thank you.
Yeah, you're the steady rock beneath my feet. And these guys are like jello. They're just melting all over the place because Delenn's telling them how great they are. And they are doing exactly what she has said would be expected from the warrior cast.
Only the warrior cast.
Yeah, only you. Oh, good point, JP. Yeah,
only the warrior cast would be so stupid. You know what? Ooh, hello.
Yeah, and it looks like the religious cast actually is plan has a little bit better chance of success.
It would have been really nice if they had just all shrunk down to little mice and just kind of skittered off in different directions and went and hid themselves.
And then they exchange the glances and somebody murmurs, it's too late.
It's like, oh, yeah. No. Oh, no. What's too late? Well,
Lanier to the rescue, though.
Yeah, he finds a Jeffrey's tube.
He finds a Jeffrey's tube.
Right.
I knew. It sure does look like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, they call it a maintenance access, I think, but it's a Jeffrey's tube.
It's a Jeffrey's tube. We will be the Star Trek podcast for a moment here.
Is that tube horizontal or at a slant or what? Kind of depends on what part of the scene you're on. Is he, you know, it seems like that tube is horizontal and he's just climbing in it. And other times it's like if he pulled his feet away, he'd slide down, right?
Yeah, it looked does... kind of that way. But it looked like it was when he finally climbed out of it and stood up, it looked like there was, yeah, a slight incline.
Uh-huh.
But at any rate.
Yep.
He pulled this off thanks to some high technology, too.
Yeah, this is the one point that kind of annoyed me. The Membari breather, if you're in the medical community or spent any time in a hospital, it's like, okay, that's just a standard medical O2 mask, guys, with tubing.
But not in the future.
Yeah. You're not going to get me started on this again.
No.
So as good as it was, though, in the show, Lanier pays a price.
Indeed.
It doesn't totally protect him.
Uh-huh. Nope. Yeah, Nerun is getting him medical attention. And it seems Nerun's respect has grown because at this point we're kind of, whatever her plan is, it seems to be in progress. Let's let Nerun tell it. He tells it best.
In the time that we have known each other, Delenn, I have not always spoken well of you.
I assumed your behavior was prompted by a sense of your own superiority, your ego, the usual fanaticism we've come to expect from the religious caste. In the last year, I've begun to realize that I was wrong. Ducat chose you above all to follow him. Slowly, dimly, I begin to understand why. I do not know what lies ahead of us, Delenn. But I do know it is right that we are here together.
Is that a compliment, Nero?
After a fashion.
After a fashion. I love the way it comes back. When Narun makes the comment about slowly, are either of you two gentlemen familiar with Jeff Wayne's musical version of The War of the Worlds?
Are you kidding me? I love that thing. It is awesome.
One of the best pieces of what, well, yeah, it's awesome. When he's saying that slowly line, does he or does he not sound an awful lot like Richard Burton?
Maybe.
It just maybe hit not. Me. As I, you know, I'm going to have to go back, stick the discs in now.
Oh no, that's on my that is on my iPod.
It's on my iPod.
And I'll tell you what, I listen to it all the time. JP, if you've never heard it, you don't know what you're missing.
I just wrote it down. I'm going to listen to it.
I still, after all these years, I have to fight to not shed a tear or two out with Thunder Child.
Yeah. Anyway, but this is not the War of the Worlds Jeff Wayne Richard Burton podcast. Let's get back to our show.
But it was a worthwhile deviation. So if you haven't heard it out there with JP, get it. Listen to it. Love it.
Yep.
Yeah. After a fashion. Well, I guess this is a good spot to switch back to the League. Well, they've got a solution.
Yeah.
To their paranoia.
And they came up with it all by themselves.
All by themselves. They are going to force Sheridan to give them Ranger Patrols too.
Yeah. No, everybody else has. We want them now too. Gosh darn it.
Yep. In fact, they claim he's got an obligation to do it.
Yep. So what Sheridan set out to do, he actually got it done.
Uh-huh. Like a vor. No. I'm not going to try and sing Madonna songs. Let's go ahead. Let's go ahead and play the clip, Jim, quick. Before myself in more trouble.
Captain, we insist. You must put as many of the White Star Fleet as you can around our borders.
Just hold on a minute.
We speak for the entire League.
Doesn't matter. I can't put them on your borders without the proper authorization to intercept raiders and other ships entering or leaving the area. And since you're not likely to give me the authorization, that, as they say, gentlemen, is that.
Incorrect. We will provide them with full authority. You cannot hide behind that, Captain.
I see. But what if I need them for a larger mission?
Then we will accompany them so that we may show our own support for whatever it is you choose to do.
You have no choice in this, Sheridan. The League has spoken. You will bring the White Star Fleet into the League of Non-Aligned Worlds. In return, the League will support any action taken by the fleet.
And I can't possibly talk you out of this.
We're afraid not.
All right. I guess you're right. I don't have a whole lot of choice in this. I'll have the diplomatic papers and treaties drawn up this afternoon and delivered to each of you by the end of the day.
Good. Thank you, Captain. You may go now.
Yes!
They're so pleased with themselves.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
And the non-aligned worlds are now sort of aligned.
They're now sort of...
Yeah. Yep.
And everybody gets what they want.
Uh-huh. Oh, gosh. And the way they dismiss him, you may go now.
Yeah.
He not only gets the patrols, he not only gets the authority, they're going to provide ships as well.
What if they're needed for a bigger mission? Well, then we'll go with you.
Right.
For whatever it is.
I'd say he had a good day.
He did. Sheridan had a great day.
All that talking to himself back at the beginning paid off.
Yep. Lanier, on the other hand, is not having a great day.
No.
Rather doing what the rest of the religious caste expects. He's lying there in a hospital bed, protects the crew and those Membari and hides the truth. Remember, Membari can lie to protect the face or protect the honor of others.
Yeah, of others who are without honor, which is exactly what he did.
Uh-huh. Well, I think it was Delenn's honor he was protecting, not theirs. They, like you said, they have no honor.
He was protecting their honor, which was protecting Delenn from knowing how dishonorable they were and being embarrassed herself because, you know, just a few scenes ago, she was talking about how great they are and what a bunch of bums the warrior caste are, and they would do this and they would do that, and these guys are doing it. And Delenn would have been absolutely mortified had she known what was actually going on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she called them extremists.
Right.
Meaning the warrior caste. She called them extremists. Funny, though, Narun then turns around in his conversation and calls the religious caste fanatics or something like that.
Different words, same meaning, mm-hmm. or at least same intent. Yeah.
But yeah, I think he was protecting the honor of the caste. You know, also,
okay.
those guys without honor, because they were part of the caste, and Delenn, who just lauded them for,
as he said, he did
being honorable,
her.
And she was totally wrong. Not guilty in that error, but so Lanier protects the whole shooting match.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which he has a tendency to do.
Because the caste system, as it's been set up here, you know, this multi-caste system is required for this balance that has existed for so long. So,
yeah,
the worry was, we'll surrender, they'll surrender, somebody's surrendering to somebody. Delenn says, that won't work. That would be bad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, what's the next worst thing is to have one of those castes just collapse on itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Things are already out of... Things are already out of balance. If one side or another gets more control, it's going to throw things even farther out of balance.
That vacuum would be bad. So that's on the large scale. I think that's what he was protecting, mm-hmm. the honor of the entire religious caste, its place.
Okay. That makes sense. That makes complete sense. So now we sort of wrap things up. And I like the way they kind of use the voice of the resistance to do that.
Mm-hmm.
The League announces their patrol force, their alliance, and we hear about the open fighting now on Membar. It's leaked out. Sheridan obviously looks worried, and Narun is up to something.
Narun looks like a real rat right now.
Well, let's just say that he's betraying someone.
Yeah, but it looks, to me, it looks like he's double-crossing Delenn. Now, this is without the benefit of knowing what is coming.
Yep.
So, assuming that I haven't watched the next episode yet, then Narun looks like a rat. He's uh-huh. double-crossed Delenn.
Which, of course, in Babylon 5 means nothing is as it seems.
Yeah, well, yep, that's correct. That's what Jakar said.
Course, for that conversation, you will have to listen to us next time, folks, right?
Absolutely.
But that is where and how we end Rumors, Bargains, and Lies,
mm-hmm.
of which there were many of all.
Yeah, as we said at the beginning of the episode, perfect, perfect title.
a fun episode and a serious episode at the same time. So, any final thoughts, folks?
Not for me. I've about said everything I have to say.
I know I'm good. Running long at the mouth as well. JP, your thoughts?
It was a good episode. It's another one of those sneaky ones that I think going into it, you don't realize how much is in there. And then as you watch it, you realize there's a whole lot of story going on.
Yeah, and a lot of levels of story going on all at once.
Right.
But you know, even though the Minbari are out of balance, the episode was very well balanced between a light side and a dark side.
Yes. So you're saying we got some Abbott and Costello and we got some real drama.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's hard to balance those two in a single story. And I think it was very well done. I know I enjoyed it. This actually is one of my favorite episodes, and partly just because I love Naroon. I love it anytime Naroon's on. And it's sad that he's only got one more episode for us.
Yep. It's a big one, though.
Yes, it is.
And then no more of his buttery voice.
Well, that said, what is our next episode, Jim?
Our next episode is Season 4, Episode 14, Moments of Transition. And there is definitely going to be some transitioning going on.
Yeah, another really, really well-titled episode.
Yep. There's some interesting stuff involving the Minbari situation.
Uh-huh.
I don't know. I don't know what else to say about it, except that it's going to be interesting to see who reacts how.
That's probably the best way to describe it, sir.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I guess until then, did we have any boom today?
Well, I think there was just a little bit of boom at 38912.
Well, no, but nothing happened there.
Okay. Yeah, well, then you're right. There was no boom today. What do you think, JP?
I don't know if there was any boom in that sector. There might have been some where Marcus was lurking about, but not any that counts, I don't think.
Oh. Yeah, but what about tomorrow?
There's always boom tomorrow.
Oh
yeah.
Okay.
And if you haven't watched that episode yet, trust me, there's going to be some boom. There's going to be a lot of boom and a lot of tomorrows.
Yes.
Well, that said, good night, folks.
So long. Say good night, JP.
Good night, JP.
Bye-bye.
Podcast terminated. Thank you for listening to the Babylon Project podcast. You can email Raul and Jim at thebabylonprojectpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook at the Babylon Project Podcast. On the internet, we are at babylonprojectpodcast.wordpress.com. To subscribe to the podcast, you can find us on iTunes, or you can subscribe to the RSS feed on the webpage.